Hello and welcome back to the Rigged Recap, where I am joined by Black Boy himself. Hello, Matthew.
Hello, Derek. Ciao, come stai?
How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing low. Wet. Yeah, that's what I meant to say, actually.
That's how I'm feeling today.
We're doing well. You know, just a chill weekend here. Just finished the finale of Drag Race España All-Stars, which we will get into for a little bit. How are you, Derek?
I'm great. Watched the episode, and I can report back. This was a good episode of UK versus the world.
Oh, applause for you. This is your growth for the show. The past weeks have been your vulnerability moment, but here we see the come around.
You know what I said last week? You said, what would make this show better? And I said, if people did better in the challenges. This is a week where people did well in the challenge. So it was, and it was a fun runway.
Mm-hmm.
The elimination felt like justified, fair. It was like, yeah. So I really have no complaints.
Although I know you were still probably in tears, though, no matter how fair it is.
Yes, but for Chiriza to go home, I feel like it was the most positive edit of her to possibly go home on. You know what I mean?
Okay.
But before we get into that, I think it's time for Matthew versus the world. Talk about the finale.
So I'd actually rather talk about Drag Race Belgique this past week. No, I'm kidding.
I heard it was rigged. Was it rigged?
Belgique or España?
Belgique, the makeover.
Yeah, but like it's a makeover. It's always rigged. You know, they put Alvilda in the bottom for no reason, and
they had to tarnish her track record. It was too powerful.
No, literally, they didn't want her to have a perfect track record at all for no reason. But she's still gonna win anyway.
Do you feel like they did that because they want Lviv as a potential winner? And if Alvilda gets to top with no bottoms, nothing less than a high, then that's like, it's pretty obvious who should win.
Yeah, I think they want Lviv to seem like a threat to Alvilda. I think they're gonna crown Alvilda no matter what. But I think they want Lviv. I still can't hit that pronunciation. I think they want her to, like, seem like a threat. So she has 3 challenge wins compared to Alvilda's 2, but Alvilda's taking it. No questions about it. But España All-Stars, though, we do have a new winner.
What is that?
Oh, I have a poster. Like, a wrapped-up poster in my hand.
What's the poster?
It's my talking stick of Johnny in Dune 2. Zendaya in Dune 2. It's a character poster. We do have a new winner in Drag Race España, though. Derek, who do you know who won?
No, I haven't seen.
Okay, who do you think won?
I think it was probably Hornella. Why is that funny? Why are you laughing? That's pretty rude.
Okay, tell me why you thought Hornella won.
I mean, she just has that, like, winner energy. You know what I mean? And, like, it just, like, exudes. She killed this season. She never once had a bad moment. Oh, wait, sorry. I meant Dragcephalus.
Yes, so Cephalus did win, although I would have loved Hornella to win.
You just laughed at the thought, but okay.
Well, here's the thing. Because Hornella was going into the finale, her one win against season 2's collective 8 wins, she didn't stand a chance, unfortunately. It was a lip sync for the crown. We had Samantha versus Jurigi, and Samantha sent Jurigi home. And then we had Cephalus versus Hornella. Hornella going home, of course. Hornella had 3rd/4th for 2 seasons in a row now. And if she ever comes back for Global All Stars, if it happens again, girl,
the Jujube of España.
And yeah, we have Drag Cephalus winning the season with Samantha Ballantines as a runner up. And that's it.
Going into the season, before you knew spoilers, before you knew anything, what would you have said if I came to you and I was like, so Samantha Ballantines is the runner-up of Drag Race España All-Stars?
Like, before I knew anything?
Anything.
I would have been a little flabbergasted. I would have been a little flabbergasted. I really would have. You know, when I first heard the cast for España All-Stars, there were days where I did have nightmares about a pink Charona and Samantha Ballantyne's top 2. I'm kidding. But watching this season, though, Samantha Ballantyne's really had such a beautiful growth. Everybody did this season, except for pink Chidora, because she went home first, so we didn't see it. But it was really great to see her in this environment where she really was able to blossom. But we're, like, happy with Cephalus winning. It was just very obvious, and she had a couple pushes to the top here and there.
Doesn't she officially now have the most iconic track record of all time? Like, the best track record of all time?
Yeah, she beat Ben De La Creme's track record. That's the best
even
ever.
Even Keona?
On non All-Star seasons, Keona has the best track record ever. But All-Stars included, it goes Drag Seth Loss, Ben De La Creme, Keona.
Damn. That's crazy, though. Do you feel like when it was announced that there was going to be a Drag Race España All-Stars, do you think the final product lived up to the hype in your head of what it could potentially be?
Well, no, because that was before... because the announcement of España All-Stars was before Season 3 had come out, so I was still... I hadn't been disillusioned yet when Season 3 came out.
Mm-hmm.
So once I saw Season 3, then I was like, oh no, I wonder how España All-Stars is going to be. So definitely did not live up to that hype.
What about when the promo dropped?
The promo dropped, like, really, like, kind of reignited that excitement for sure. And the season, I think, was a good season. And I don't think there was as much obscene favoritism as there was on España 3, for example. But just, like, the little pushes, the little nudges for saving somebody from the bottom or putting somebody in the top, that kind of, like, brought it down a lot. And it was a little bit of a domino effect towards the end.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, España All-Stars is done. Congratulations, Drag Seth Loss. And we'll see if All-Stars gets renewed ever.
So, moving into UK versus the world, we are at our top six. We just saw Gothy Kendall get eliminated. If Tia had won a lip sync, she also would have sent Gothy home. So, it was pretty much
unanimous.
Unanimous, that's it. Unanimous. So, we have no Gothy, but we have our top six. And this group has a lot more charisma and, like, they get along better now from, like, what I'm seeing in this episode than in many episodes prior. Like, I feel like we really got to just, like, see the dynamics better in this episode for some reason.
Yeah, this was a good episode to, like, establish and further, like, reinforce the relationships that these queens had before.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it is a well-mixed cast of what's left. I think it would only be better if Arantxa was still there.
Yeah. I mean, obviously. Everything is made better with Arantxa Castilla-La Mancha. But, unfortunately...
Yes. Arantra. How do you...
Let's call her Ranch.
Let's call her Ranch.
So I would say the big stories of this episode were kind of propping up Marina, propping up Chariza as just, like, two very iconic queens in very different ways. And then, obviously, the storyline of the romance between Tia Coffey and La Grande Dame. This one feels a little bit more realistic. Like, it doesn't feel like they're faking it as much as some other potential romances.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like they definitely are putting it on a little bit for the cameras. But, like, I think the attraction was there from the jump. And now they're finally, like, really comfortable. And now they just kind of can't keep their hands off each other.
No, really. They're always, like, leaning on each other and just, like, laying their head on each other's shoulders. And it's very romantic.
Mm-hmm. They had to steal a kiss in the dance performance.
They are... I think that was definitely playing it up to the camera, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is, like... Honestly, I would never have guessed that these two would have, like, been drawn to each other the way that they are. But it's... I kind of ship it.
Yeah, like, I respect it. Respect. I think that's the wrong word. I ship it.
You sound
respect,
like,
is the wrong word. I respect your tastes, girl.
You sound like a center-leaning Republican. I respect it.
I respect that you're gay. Just tone it down a little.
Maybe just not on camera for our children to be watching. But yeah, no, that was really cute. I feel like that, along with just, like, Marina, I feel like it's getting very clear who are, like, main characters of this season are.
Yes. Yes.
And who's not being pushed, but, you know, Tia has been called out for having some favoritism. La Grande Dame, I don't think she said favoritism, but she's definitely been always in the narrative, even when she's not necessarily doing well in the competition.
Yes, yes. La Grande Dame, I feel like, has always had an involvement with each of the key players on every single episode. You know, even in the episode she wasn't in the top, she would have arguments with Scarlet Envy after choosing who to go home and, you know, those sort of things. She's always had something to be a part of in every single episode. And I do also want to say, Marina Summers, I was going to use the term she's coming out of a shell, but she, I don't think she was ever coming. I don't think there was a shell to begin with. She came in with the confidence and character, but I think that she's finally getting an edit on the show. You know, like she did have that first episode win, but the, like you said, last podcast, she kind of had a 3-episode lull where she wasn't part of it much, but now she's like really getting back into things.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I didn't know who she was as a person until the Snatch Game episode. And since then, she's kind of been the narrator along with Scarlett. They kind of been going back and forth. But this episode in particular was like, it was the Marina Summers show.
Yes. Marina versus the world, baby.
Yes. So since she won the challenge last week, she now gets to pick the partners for the challenge this week, which is Strictly Come Prancing, where they have 3 different kinds of dance that they have to choose from, and in partners they will do a little routine. So super cute challenge. I kind of wish that they had split up some of the comedy and the dancing, because we got like 2 comedy and then 2 dancing, but it's whatever. Yeah. They're different enough that it's like not a big deal.
I do think though that the 2 performances right in a row and the 2 comedy challenges right in a row, I do think that does mess with the rhythm of the season a little bit, but I'm not complaining, because we got to watch Marina lip sync 2 in a row.
Mm-hmm. And we had some really awesome guest stars this episode. I'm not going to pretend like I knew who a single one of these people were beforehand, but I was fans of them after. We had Jeanette Manrara and, oh my gosh, there's no way I'm going to be able to say this guy's name. Her husband were the 2 choreographers. And then the guest judge was Mansi Mabusi. She was incredible.
Amazing.
I loved her.
I want her to be a permanent judge. Dare I say?
She looked stunning. She had charisma, personality. She had good critiques. What more could you possibly want?
Yeah, she was spectacular.
And not RuPaul doing the, like, my bussy on fire.
My like, bussy on fire.
Not this.
Oh, my God, Ru.
She's like, I work on a family program, so I don't know how this is going to go.
Ru's so unserious.
No, it is. So we see that Marina splits up the girls by height, which Tia Coffey is not thrilled with, because she's a little bit nervous to be with Le Grand Dame, because according to her, Le Grand Dame is a not good dancer.
And she's right.
So funny how Le Grand Dame kind of outshined her in the actual performance, though. That was interesting.
It was. And I also think Tia's a little bit shady, because I think she's keen on this, too. She will openly say in the confessional, I don't want to be with Le Grand Dame because she sucks at dancing. And then, and then in the workroom, Le Grand Dame was like, is being a partner with me so bad? And Tia was just like, well, what if there's a lift? What if there's a lift?
She's smart. She's not trying to make enemies.
No, literally. Especially knowing that, like, Le Grand Dame can be a big threat this season if given the right challenges.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I feel like Marina played this the best that she could, like the fairest. Like, she ends up with someone who she's, like, comfortable with in Hanaconda.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay, if you're Marina, who are you taking as your partner?
I might have taken Scarlett.
You know, Scarlett did go home on a dance challenge on season 11.
You're so right. I kind of forgot about that, actually. Well, I guess I locked in my answer.
Please. I probably would have just taken Hannah, because, like...
You think so?
She could do, like, she's good at picking up choreo, as we've seen so far, so, and on her original season, she won the girl group challenge, so, like, I feel like she's a...
Little hand in the room.
She's a safe bet, and also someone who I could maybe outshine at the same time. Like, they won't be a hindrance, but they won't be outshining me at the same time.
Would you play this fearing that it might be judged individually rather than in groups, rather than in pairs? Is that how you would kind of play it?
I would assume it would be judged in pairs.
Okay. Only because the last time when they did this, season 7, it was also judged in pairs then.
Mm-hmm. And it probably shouldn't have been. Kind of like it also shouldn't have been in this one. So, you know. Parallels.
Oh! Well, I mean, like, even if it was judged individually or in pairs, I think it would have been the same top 2 and same bottom 2 the same either way.
I disagree, but...
Oh. Well, know, I guess we'll get into it, won't we?
We will. So, they get split off into pairs. So, Marina Summers and Hannah Conda are doing the samba. Couldn't tell you what the samba is, but it sounds difficult, so...
Yeah. I'm sure Plain Jane could tell us.
Yeah, exactly. And then Scarlett Envy and Chariza May are doing the tango. And then we have Tia Coffee and the Grand Dame doing the, what is it? Something step?
Quick step?
Quick step. I was going to say fast step. I'm like, that's not that. Never heard of a quick step.
I maybe have heard of it like twice in my life. Never seen it performed.
I've never watched Dancing with the Stars or anything like that. So my, like, my knowledge of different types of dance is pretty not there.
even as somebody who did watch Dancing with the Stars, still, I have no clue. I'm not that well-versed in dance.
after seeing the performances, which one would you have wanted to do? Like, which one do you think you could have done, the type of dance?
I feel like I could have been successful with the quick step. I don't think I would have been successful at the samba or the tango, but the quick step I feel like I could pick up. What about you?
The tango one looked the easiest to me, personally.
Okay.
So I probably would have gone with that. And also, like, in my head, I know of the tango. Like, you have, like, an image of your head of, like, what the tango could be. So I feel like that would be a nice, like, safe bet for me.
Yeah.
But it was interesting how Tia really wanted to do the tango because she was worried about, like, the long legs doing the quick, what is it, the quick step?
The quick step.
The quick step. And then immediately, like, kind of gives it up. She's like, well, you guys do that. It's fine. I was like, okay, so you're not happy with your partner, and you're also not happy with your dance. So how is this going to go?
Did you think there was, like, a storyline that was brewing there that didn't come to fruition?
I think that if it was a different queen instead of Tia, probably. But Tia doesn't give me someone who's, like, vindictive or, like, is going to make a storyline out of, like, oh, I'm pissed. Like, I'm going to be, you know what I mean?
Right. Well, I also wonder if it was, like, a, you know, because a storyline doesn't always have to be specifically confrontation-based, but rather I was thinking, like, oh, Tia, you shouldn't have given up that easily because the quick step you would have, with the samba, or what did she want, the tango? Mm-hmm. With the tango, you would have won or something. You know, I thought there was going to be, like, a storyline developing there, but it just didn't come to fruition.
Yeah. Let's talk about Charissa May, who went home this episode, but from the jump, she's kind of like, okay, I've been in the bottom, but I like dancing. This is something I can do. Like, I feel like this episode, even though she went home, they did the best that they could to prop her up as, like, a lovely human, a funny queen. This just was not her season.
No, not at all, unfortunately.
This episode, for me personally, she already was, but this, like, sealed the deal. Like, she's in my top 10, period, ever, of all time. Love her so much. This is the kind of queen that I just, like, oogle over. The, like, stupid, doesn't take herself too seriously, always has a quip. Right.
If Charissa May, if, like, tomorrow they announce España versus the world and Charissa May is on the fan, is on, like, the rumored cast, would you watch?
Yes. Especially if Arantxa is also on rumored cast.
Could you imagine?
I would love.
UK versus the world girls coming back for a third time on another versus the world.
I mean, it's kind of like, it's kind of like versus the world.
About to happen?
Yeah, it's almost like...
too...
Interesting.
See what I did there?
Okay, so diving into the challenge and the runway, which was business in the front, party in the back, which was a really fun theme. Let us start off with our first group, which was Marina Summers and Hannah Conda. So they also were the winning group. Let's talk about Marina Summers. What did you think about her in the challenge and then on the runway, which she wore like a business suit with these very like high pointed shoulders, and then when she turned around it was a karaoke machine with light up speakers that was playing Living My Life in London by RuPaul.
Marina Summers. That's it. That's the tweet. Marina Summers.
The end.
The end. Like there's nothing to say. That is a winner right there. She is insanely talented in so many areas. This runway I thought was very creative. Definitely not what I was expecting for the party in the back, because when you hear party in the back, the easiest like low hanging fruit is like just to either show your butt or like have some lingerie in the back, you know what I mean? Like that's usually the first thing that people go for. And so I was like kind of, I almost like, oh my, okay, you know what, hold. Guilty, I did doubt Marina for a second before she turned around. I thought there was just going to be like a lingerie under there. No, then it was a fucking karaoke machine. Genius. Genius. What an icon. Because I saw her pull out the microphone and I was like, what is the microphone for? And then she turned around. And for it to be Living My Life in London too, she's a genius. Sensation. And to me, she has this season by the horns.
Favorite performance, favorite runway. She ate it up. The season has become, to me personally, either Marina wins or the season's a flop.
And I'd love to hear you say that.
I'm not loving the season as a whole, but if Marina were to win, then it would all be worth it.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of where I'm at. But Marina is getting a closed case for me for this episode, obviously.
Closed case. And then I'm still not done talking about Marina because we will get into the lip sync later.
Up next is a fellow top two competitor for this episode, Hannah Conda, who I thought did a really good job in the dancing. She definitely kept up. She gave a lot of personality. And then on the runway, she decided to be a cat in a like a shimmering holographic gold pantsuit. And then on the back, brought back the mice from her gown from episode 2 to, like, I don't know why they were there. They were having a party. There was, like, little cheesy sayings on the back, like, Jesus loves you.
Because when the cat is away, the mice come out to play.
Did she say that, or did you just come up with that?
She said that. I'm not witty enough to come up with something like that. I know that she has won a performance challenge in the past, but I was very surprised to see her so well kept up with Marina. I was very impressed with her work. And that seemed to be, like, her running storyline this entire episode. How everyone was shocked that she did so well on a dancing challenge. That's what everyone said. This runway, I suppose I like the front more than I like the party in the back. But to me, okay, this is 100% going to come off as nitpicking. The whole entire outfit gives me party. Just because, you know, like, just because the front is a suit and tuxedo, it's still overall party. And that's such a nitpick, I know, but that's the only reason I'm, like, questioning it.
Yeah, no, I didn't like the runway. I feel like it was too disjointed, like, the look within the cat, within the, like, it was just, like, very strange to me. I didn't follow the story.
You would 100% see that in a cat's production, like the musical.
That's true. But she's still getting a close case, even if I didn't like the runway. She did a really good job.
Yeah, I'm motioning for a closed case.
Up next, we have our second group, which was Scarlet Envy and Charissa May doing the tango. So let's start out with Charissa May.
Oh.
Who... I'll let you go.
Are you sure? You sure you don't want to go?
It wasn't terrible. It wasn't bad. She was just very stiff. And you could tell that Scarlett was kind of dragging her through at some points. Because, like, they were always, like, unlocked. Like, their arms were always unlocked. So you could tell that, like, Scarlett was definitely, like, dragging her along a little bit. But while her body was stiff, her face was giving, like...
Also stiff.
It was giving camp. She kept, like, giving, like, ooh, ah, ha, ha. And I was like, girlfriend, this is not the right dance for this vibe.
See, my problem, too, I think, and I'm going to give the same critique to Scarlett as well, is that they weren't playing to the judges either. I know, like, part of the choreography was, like, always going to be perpendicular to the judges, but even in the other dance routines, we had girls facing the judges every now and then. You can see Charissa and Scarlett just kind of staring at each other to remember the dance moves the entire time. And is most prominent with Charissa. So that was kind of unfortunate. And this runway also is kind of unfortunate. Unfortunately, I don't like the runway.
She's doing the La Infierno thing again. And it's a stunning look. It's made, you know, very nice, but there just isn't a payoff. Like, when she turns around, it's just that she has a tail, a devil tail, and a thong. But yeah. See, I think they actually had the hardest job because, unlike the other dances where it was more like they were definitely working together, but there was moments where they were, like, apart. The tango was so personal. Like, they were always looking at each other, like, always, like, arms together, like, on each other. There wasn't enough time for them to, like, separate and see what they were doing separately. And I think that's kind of what you're pointing out, is, like, they didn't play to the judges. But I feel like the choreo wasn't, like, gonna help with that either, because they were always just locked up.
Yeah.
Whereas Scarlet, I could tell that there was more fluidity with Scarlet. Chorizo is definitely just not there. So I love her. She is my favorite on the season, but I am going to have to give her a cold case.
Cold case. Oh, are you heartbroken? Are you sad?
If I didn't know the spoilers, I probably would be, but I've had time to accept. You know what I mean?
Oh, you know the spoilers.
For this season, yes. Not for season 16. So moving on to Scarlet Envy, she does a tango along with Teresa, and then on the runway, she does an homage to a Barbara Streisand Academy Award look,
yes,
where her ass is out. Can I just say, this, along with the Venus look that she wore on All Star 6, this was my favorite Scarlet Envy runway. And her Pisces look from season 11.
What Venus look?
It's the Birth of Venus. Isn't that the painting? The Leonardo da Vinci painting?
Oh, you're right. You're right. Yeah. Okay. This look is spectacular.
This is everything. And I love how she, the way that she did the hair and the makeup, I saw people kind of saying it didn't go. To me, there's so many similar elements in the Barbra Streisand look and then Madonna's erotica look that taking it into the intense makeup, this kind of like, I don't know how you would, the bang with the hair and how it's up and the ass out. Like, it's kind of morphing together the Barbra Streisand and the Madonna look in like the perfect way.
Yeah, I find this look to be spectacular. And I think really what highlights and brings this look apart from what it could have been is the fact that it's pants. I love pants on the runway. I'm just throwing that. I love pants on the runway. I don't know if they're connected by the mermaid skirt at the very bottom, but it seemed like they were more like bell bottoms. This is spectacular. But again, I have to be fair, and I'm going to give the same critique. I do think just going for an assless look for a runway that is called Party in the Back, I do think that is low-hanging fruit. I do think that it could have been more creative. But this look is overall spectacular. I think it's gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous.
I mean, I think I'm going to give her an open case because I think she was okay in the challenge. I think that Chorizo was the issue there. And I think that she, unfortunately, was brought down by Chorizo. But this runway is my... I don't know if I could choose between Marina's and Scarlet's. These are my two favorites for this episode. Okay. So, open case.
I think I'm going to give her a cold case, I think. That's I'm going to give her a cold case.
That's interesting.
That's why I said it.
So next up, we have our last group of La Grande Dame and Tia Coffey, who did the quick step. Let's start off with La Grande Dame, who on the runway did a bridal look that then had red sequined ammo and weapons on the back. It was giving kind of Ready or Not.
Yeah.
Am I missing something? Is there a reference or something that I'm missing? A French reference or a movie reference?
I did not get the look. I did not understand.
Same.
I did not get it. I thought it was gorgeous. It's beautiful. I just didn't get it.
She said on the runway that it was like telling the story of a woman who has power, something like that. I don't know. It seemed kind of convoluted.
I don't think there's like a specific reference to it. I think it's just giving like Mr. and Mrs. Smith, like, or Spy Kids, more like when in Spy Kids, like that at the very start of the movie when they got married and they had to like jump off the cliffside to evade the helicopters. You know, that's what I was picturing in my brain. But
yeah,
I think again, I also think this is a little uninspired.
Yeah.
I just think the look unfortunately is a little uninspired. Again, I want to emphasize I think she looks gorgeous, but it is just a wedding dress where you have guns and swords at your back, and that's the party in the back. There's something I'm missing here. And I find it uninspired.
I also don't love that you could kind of see a little bit of it from the front, so you could like the other ones were true like reveals, like you didn't know what was going to be back there, but this one you could kind of like see parts of it, and it's like, oh, what's that?
Yeah. In the challenge, I thought her and Tia did good. You know, they did perfectly passable. I don't think they did as bad as Scarlett and Teresa, but definitely not as good as Hannah and Marina. So I find overall their performance in the challenge passable.
I actually, with this runway, I wish there were sleeves or even just like a, what would you call it? That it just like comes, you know, like the wedding dresses, they have like the little hanging drapery sleeve. I think with no sleeves, it loses a teeny little bit of like the elegance. I think with just a little like drapiness around the shoulders, it could have been like next level. That's just like a personal thing, I think. But she looked stunning. This wig was everything. She was great in the challenge, and I'm gonna give her a closed case.
Yeah, I'm gonna give her a closed case. Like, I liked her in the challenge. I like this look. Don't know if it goes with the theme. I mean, here we are talking about me, me and my hockey jersey, you in a Scarlet Witch shirt. Like, who are we to
spot? And flannel. Okay. Well, let's not get it twisted, B-Lack.
And the flannel, okay. Come on.
And just like RuPaul, there are sweatpants under this desk.
Would you stand up for us, please?
So last up, we have Tia Coffee, who did a St. Sebastian-inspired look with arrows and some blood dripping down. Kind of like La Grande Dame. Michelle pointed out, it's like, you guys did some murder-inspired looks. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like the like party in the back is, like, not super well represented. Like, it's like, torture in the back or whatever. But she looked stunning. And I love the bedazzled blood coming down the white fabric in the back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I think La Grande Dame and Tia both got a little confused on the prompt. It's so, like, this is not a, personally, that's not a party I would want to go to.
No.
But I do think it is a gorgeous look. Tia has really just had a glow up this season. She does look very gorgeous. The detailing in the back with the arrows is my favorite part of the outfit. And I like her a lot in red hair.
I was just about to say, she can pull off any hair color. We've seen her in like a dark brown, a caramel, a black, a platinum, and now a red. Mm-hmm. And she's looked great in every single one of them.
Yeah, she's a beautiful person. That really kind of complements to her hair a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, along the same critiques of La Grande Dame, I think they did passable. Like, I think they did good in the challenge. They knew the steps. They were playing up to the judges, which was a critique I had with Charisse and Scarlett. So I think they did good.
This is where we disagree.
Mm.
I feel like the same critique I've had for Tia the entire season in these performance challenges, I saw yet again, like, she's a little bit stiff. Her face is a little bit, at times you could see that she was, you know, trying to be theatrical and putting on, but there was just some, like, times you could tell she was a little bit nervous. And she missed a couple moves, especially like the first one when they all first came out. I feel like of all the performance challenges that we've seen, this was the weakest of her. And I wanted to see her in the bottom because this has been an ongoing issue, and it's not getting better.
Mm.
And this could have been, like, a Tia. Well, I guess it wouldn't have been because they never called it out. But, like, if I were judging the season, I would have been like, Tia, we've said that, like, you know, loosen up a little bit in these performance challenges, and you're not getting any better. So, bottom two.
Right. See, I didn't get that vibe from her. I mean, I think there have been instances of her being stiff during performance challenges that are way worse examples than what she had on this episode.
Mm-hmm.
And I also don't think she did as poorly as Scarlett or Charisse, for that matter, that I don't think it would have justified her being in the bottom this one instance. But with that being said, I don't know if I would judge a challenge in one specific instance or like in a vacuum or season wide. Like, would I, as a judge, say, I've noticed you stiff in the last couple performances challenges, and I don't know what I'm trying to say here. I'm trying to posit, rather, would you judge this then as a season-long issue, or would you pick to judge this episode in a vacuum? Does that make sense?
I think it depends. Yes, I think it depends. I think if it's something that you've called them out on and they've, you know, been saved and it's still not getting better, I think then it's warranted to be like, okay, here's your last, like, we're putting you in the bottom. You're not listening to critique. But yeah. I also realize they haven't been giving her that critique, so it's kind of a pointless thing to say,
right?
For me, this is just difficult because it's two very different things. Like, Scarlett and Charisse were intertwined in the entire performance, so it was hard to determine what was Scarlett and what was Charisse.
Mm.
Le Grand Dame and Tia were very separate for a lot of this, and it was easy to look at Le Grand Dame's performance and Tia's performance as separate things. And to me, when I was watching it, Le Grand Dame just seemed so much more fluid and assured in her movements than Tia did. So it was more noticeable to me.
Okay. So you would have probably picked to, like, judge this individually?
I think so. I think even just, like, in the season 7 one, where, which we haven't even mentioned, they're in a half-male, half-female drag, season 7 challenge.
Yeah.
I think that, like, Trixie Mattel did a great job in the challenge. Ginger Minj dropped the ball, but they both ended up in the bottom two because they were teammates. I think in this case, it's harder to tell, like, how Scarlett really did, but I could see that there were better things going on with Scarlett than with Chariza.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, I think my thing, I think I'm frustrated that Tia has gotten away with so much and has been praised for times where I don't think she should have been in, like, the top two.
Yeah.
That I'm kind of like, I'm over it. Like, I'm seeing the same issues, put her in the bottom.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the riggery of UK versus the World Season 2 is inbound. I think I'm going to give Tia a closed case this episode.
I'm going to give her an open case.
Okay. Like, I'm going to say closed case, but like a soft gust of wind could open it. You know what I mean? That's where we're at right now for me.
I think part of my thing is, like, I feel like Tia has been so overpraised at times, and Scarlett has been underpraised at times, that, like,
yeah,
I wanted this to balance it out. You know what I mean? Like, this could have been the episode where it's like, okay, that's all fine because Scarlett was, you know, high and Tia was in the bottom.
And it probably would have been a good vulnerability moment. let's bring up the vulnerability of a winner. It probably could have been a good vulnerability moment too for her, because I don't know if she'll be in the bottom. Assuming next week is going to be like, if you're not in the top, you're in the bottom. Mm-hmm. I don't think she'll do bad on a roast.
No.
I think she'll be fine. So this probably was her one and only chance to be in the bottom. Although I wouldn't have agreed with it, but this probably would have been her one chance to be in the bottom.
There's also a bit more of a storyline of Chariza and Tia being the last two UK girls being in the bottom together than, like, Scarlett and Chariza, who really have no, you know, storyline together.
Interesting question, though. Do you think this is late enough in the season that if Tia was in the bottom two, would you have picked her?
If it was me, if I was in Marina's shoes?
Yes.
Oh, Tia would be.
If Tia was in the bottom.
if it was Chariza and Scarlett, or if it was Chariza and Tia, Scarlett and Tia, pack your bags. You're out of here, bitch.
Like, okay.
I don't know if I would have been necessarily threatened by Scarlett, because competition-wise, I would be threatened, but I know that RuPaul doesn't give a shit. So she's not, like, huge competition, but, like, I know they like Tia. So Tia would be so gone.
Okay, and especially because it's late enough in the season that, like, you can play your cards dirty.
Well, yes. And if I was there, I'd be like, well, Teresa's my best friend. I can't send my best friend home. Are you joking? In my fan fiction, me and Teresa are best friends on UK versus the World 2. And that would be our, like, moment.
Okay, so another hypothetical. Say, like, Tia's three wins were earlier in the season. Like, say Tia won episode 1, 2, and 3, and then was in the bottom episode 4. Would you have eliminated her episode 4? Is that a safe place to eliminate a frontrunner that early?
No. If it was a 6-episode season, yes. But we're in an 8-episode season, so no.
Okay. So it's kind of like the last two episodes are like the last two episodes.
It's fair game. It is like we're in the jungle. Like it is like man eat man, dog eat dog. It's over.
That's like that's why I kind of wish Marina did pick Scarlett. Because I'm, like, thinking, I'm like, this is late enough in the season for you to make big moves and be fine later on. For example, Panjani Heels, her downfall was playing her cards too early. She sent home a front runner before the halfway point in the season. She was packed and gone the next episode. Mm-hmm. But Blue Hydrangea played that card right in the last two episodes, right when it mattered most. So she was safe for the rest of the season. I kind of wish Marina picked Scarlett.
I also think so, but I don't think it would be worth it because, yes, Scarlett is doing better in the competition, but she's not a threat to win in the fact that, like, it's very clear they're not featuring her. You know what I mean? So is that just making a big move just to make a big move? Like, it's not really probably going to help you in any way.
But it could, because Scarlett has been very open about wanting to send home frontrunners.
That's true. I guess we also have, like, we see everything from, like, the outside, but when you're in it, you don't necessarily, like, see all the little details of, like, well, obviously they don't like Scarlett.
Right. That too, but... Because Marina Summers was sitting right next to Scarlett Envy when she said I would send home the front runner, I would have been like, well, Diva, this is my third win. I'm a little nervy around you. Scarlett Envy, pack your fucking bags.
So getting into the deliberations, it's Marina and Hannah in the top and Scarlett and Therese in the bottom. Scarlett really did a terrible job of trying to, like, sell her case. Like, it was, like, kind of awkward.
Yeah. Do you think she was trying to do some damage control?
Where, like, earlier in the season, she was like, I'll send the strongest home. I don't give a shit. And now she's like, yeah. Well, I just want to play it fair.
Yes. Do you think that was intentional or she actually forgot that she said that, like Hannah Connor suggested?
I don't know. Because when we talked about that scene, we talked about how she was frustrated. Like, she was, you know, low the first week when she could have been safe. You know, she was, you know, she could have been high episode two, potentially, and she was just safe. So I think she was in her feelings. I don't know if she was actually meaning that, or if she was just like, I need to do something to make good TV so that they want to keep me around. So I don't know. And we don't hear her in the confessional ever say what her real strategy would be. So part of me thinks that it was, she was hamming it up a little bit, but she didn't actually mean it fully. And now she's kind of like, ooh, I need to, like, walk that back a little bit.
Yeah. Either way, though, I think she was playing it up in the deliberations here. I think she, like, knew that she said that. So she was really trying to do, like, some damage control and really protect her behind here. But she did a terrible job in the deliberations.
And Shariza, I mean, you could just tell that they all love her so much. She has such a genuine connection with them that you could see that, like, Scarlett did not have with these two queens. So I would be
when she was with Marina and she was just like, and Scarlett and Marina were just like, yeah, well,
so what now? Yeah. I'd be Party. Interested to see if Hannah did get rid of Scarlett, because she was the one who was really worried about Scarlett sending home front runners if she wins again.
I think she might have, but I also I don't know, I think she might have.
It's interesting. Very interesting. But we see a lip sync between Marina Summers and Hannah Conda. And this is the lip sync of the season.
This is the lip sync of the season. It is so good. Ugh. Marina Performer Summers. Just her absolute ability to capture the emotion of any song is spectacular. She is gorgeous in every way that she delivers a performance. And this might be like her no, that's a lie. I was going to say this is like her magnum opus lip sync, but then I remembered her Call Me Mother lip sync on Philippines. But this one is up there. She's just absolute perfection, I think, when it comes to performing. She's born to do drag.
Well, and you can see the difference between Hannah, who's like, Hannah's a good lip syncer. Like, she's not like one of the greatest we've ever seen, but she's not like some, you know, shitty lip syncer. Yeah. But comparing Hannah to Marina, the face. Marina serves in the face so hard, and also just like the fluidity, her movements remind me of Jax a little bit, just like how fluid she is in her movement. Like, it's very unique.
That's what you are. Yeah, it is very just absolute. It's a talent that she has, I think. And there was that one little 2-second clip. You know the clip I'm talking about, where she was, which her and Hannah Conda were like kneeling at the front of the stage. And there was that one clip where they showed Marina's face, just like a zoom in on her face. And it was just, you have to know what I'm talking about. That one shot. It was like a money shot of all money shots.
Yes.
I posted it everywhere I could. I posted it on my Instagram story. I posted it on Twitter. I posted it on TikTok. Everywhere I could. That shot is absolute perfection. It absolutely captures her talent as a performer. And with that too, this is the caliber of lip syncing that we see from Marina. And every time I think about it too, it's like I always have to think about back to Philippines 1, that Precious Paula Nicole absolutely obliterated Marina in the final lip sync. If that tells you, like, we see how good Marina is as a performer. Like, imagine the caliber that Precious has in her lip sync in that regard. It's very fascinating to me. Filipina drag, just absolute sensation.
But even in the lip sync, like, she has a reveal to this, like, Bob Mackie style gal. Like, ugh. She didn't have to do all that. Like, girl, she's dead.
She's already dead. Remember when Pangina was lip syncing and everybody on Twitter was like, she needed to send Jimbo home. That's how I felt mm-hmm. it here. She mm-hmm. needed to send Chariza home.
Oh, yes. She obviously wins the lip sync. She sends home Chariza May. And Chariza May, she's like, what?
What?
And RuPaul laughs at Chariza May more in this 1 second that she's laughed at Scarlett in 3 seasons. So, like...
I mean, it's true. It's true.
A Chariza, lovely human.
R.I.P.
Iconic human. She's so funny. She's so genuine. And just, like, watching her in the confessional, like, it wasn't even that she wanted to win. It's that she didn't want to leave her friends.
Right. She's, like, she's just too so nice. Sad. Who do you think is going to get congeniality this season? Arantxa or Chariza?
I think it has to be Chariza, because they've had more time with Chariza.
Hmm. True. But they might give it to Arantxa. JK, just kind of, I love Arantxa.
I love Arantxa, too, but also, Chariza already knew more people anyway.
So true.
That are probably going to be voting for her, so.
But you know what I'm going to say? Chariza's probably going to vote for Arantxa.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure. So, but yeah, no, Chariza, top 10 queen of all time. Aww. I love that bitch. I love her so much. And this is a great send-off. You know, they weren't, like, shitting on her. They weren't like, ugh, go home already. You're third bottom. It was very much like, you are a wonderful human that this is just not your time.
Yeah. She, like you said many times before, she got the best edit she possibly could in this scenario.
Sad, but we have our top five. And we move on to next week's episode, which is The Roast. Who are you expecting to do well? Who are you expecting to flop?
I'm thinking Tia's probably going to do well. Hannah's probably going to do well. And Scarlett's probably going to do well. And that makes me a little nervous because that leaves over my two faves.
Well, we saw Marina is like, I am so nervous. Like, this is not my thing. Like, how did they have a roast on Philippines?
No. Well, They had more like a... No, I don't think they had a roast. I have to think about that.
Or a stand-up or anything like that?
They had like a stand-up where they had to like... It was like a stand-up where they were all like pageant queens. I remember that one. I don't think there was a roast. I have to think about that. That was a kind of long season. So I don't remember all the challenges.
So yeah, we'll see if Marina ends up in the bottom.
Girl, she's gutted.
It would be hard to not send her home.
No,
it would
really.
Take a strong-willed bitch or a Trinity the Tuck who's like, I want to win against the best.
Well, I'm going to be Heidi in Closet. If I send home the best, then I beat the best.
I'm worried about Heidi. Yeah, no, I mean, if I were in their shoes, Marina would be... It would be like a Derek with great power at Marina.
Milk.
Derek,
you're kind of brutal. Okay, if like the bottom, what if the bottom two was like Marina and Tia?
Marina.
Oh. Because you also have to remember, like, you also have to think about, in the scenario, you might consider, okay, what if it's a lip sync for the finale? Or sorry, not a lip sync for the finale, like a lip sync for the crown. Marina, you're going to lose a Marina lip sync.
Marina could beat any of us.
Yes.
Like, we're done. It's over.
Unless they give her, like, I don't know, probably like, what song can Marina not do?
I can, I don't know, give another, like, Venga Boys. I don't know if Marina could do a Venga Boys song.
I feel like Marina would slaughter a Venga Boys song.
If they gave her, like, Boom Boom, what is it?
Boom.
Boom 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 Boom.
Is that a Venga Boys song?
I want you in my room. Yeah.
Oh, boom, 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 boom. I want yes. you in my room.
I don't know if she... I don't know. She could probably pull it out, but that'd be the only thing in my head that I'm like, I don't know. Maybe she can't get that silly.
I don't know. We'll see. I think she was playing a game of, like, sending home the fairest competition possible. Like, I think she, like, audibly... I think she, like, intentionally went in there saying, I'm going to pick Mayhem Miller, Goffy Kendall, and Chariza May, hoping that if there's a scenario that comes up where I'm in the bottom and I saved these front runners, they might want to extend the same grace and gratitude back to me. So I think she was playing that game. So we'll see how that goes. I don't... Unless she's, like, the fucking funniest bitch ever in a roast. I don't know.
And time will tell.
Yeah.
So, and something I noticed, and maybe I should have been doing this the whole time, that I think this really helped... I didn't watch season 16 in UK versus the world in the same day.
Uh-huh.
I watched season 16 on Saturday, and I watched this today on Sunday. And I feel like if I would have watched this after season 16, I probably would have been like, anyway. But because I was able to separate it, like, two separate things that I'm not comparing, I enjoyed this a lot better.
Yeah. Well, that's why I think that UK versus the World should be on Saturdays. Like, I don't, like...
Or any other day. Any other day.
Putting it on a Friday was crazy. I think, like, I think this season deserves, like, a weekend airtime. That's why I think it should have been, like, Saturday. Like, drop it at Saturdays. I think separating it by the days is going to help both seasons grow in the proper way.
Mm-hmm.
But, oh, yeah. Too late now.
Season 16 is doing just fine, but, like, this is a detriment to UK versus the World 2.
Mm-hmm.
We only have two episodes left.
Woo!
And then we'll just have to do our Survivor podcast.
Oh, yes. And then give it, like, what, probably until August, September, and then we'll get into Global All-Stars. Well, for my podcast. Okay, so I will pre-season, though, I was more excited for UK versus the World than Global All-Stars. Probably, A, because it was closer, but also some of my faves on this season are, like, my home run faves. But once UK versus the World is done, you will not hear the end. You will, like, you will never stop hearing from me. When Global All-Stars comes out, that is going to be my fucking Super Bowl.
You will be muted.
Oh, well, why? Don't you want to hear my lovely, lovely thoughts all the time?
on Tessa Testicle? Of course I do.
And Vanity Vane.
I think that's all for this episode, though. Matthew, what do you have going on? And tell everyone where they can follow you.
Well, everybody, you can follow me at It's Be Like Boy on Twitter, Be Like _ Matt _ on Instagram. Be Like Boy on TikTok and Be Like Boy on YouTube. I have some videos in the works. We'll just see when they come out. I'm so bad at posting consistently.
It was just your birthday, too. Did you have a nice birthday?
I did have a nice birthday. Thank you. And thank you for your birthday wishes.
Of course. Of course.
You're so nice.
To your face.
So you're the one leaving all the hate comments on Reddit about me.
I have my little minions. I'm like, hey, you should go. And you guys can follow me everywhere at Dry Detective. And Tuesday, I will have a video out about Untucked and why it's garbage now.
Wait, are you really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm sad. That's going to be kind of a fun one.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited. It's been on my mind a lot.
Yeah.
So why not make my opinions known?
Like you always do.
Exactly. Why do you think I have a podcast and a YouTube channel and a Twitter? I can't keep my mouth shut.
Girl, that Twitter you post once a week and you say like the most vague things on there.
What's vague about?
You know what sent me though? Your one tweet, I think it was before the plasma video that you posted, and all you said was tomorrow. That sent me into orbit.
Thank you all so much for listening, and we'll catch you in the next one.
Ciao. Au revoir.
Au revoir.
Wait, or... I... No.